I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to Amazing FBA. Today, I'm going to talk about the simple question, ways to sell on Amazon. What ways are there to sell on Amazon? That's a typical question that somebody who doesn't know much about the Amazon space would ask. But also, I think it's a question that's worth revisiting for people who think they have a very fixed idea about how that works, because people tend to get a bit fixated one way or the other quite quickly into one or other model. And in fact, quite often it is worth reconsidering if something fits your budget, your time frame, your experience and your risk aversion. And those are the sorts of personal questions that you need to answer whenever you're looking at an investment opportunity or business type or even kind of activity generally. Some things just suit some people and not others. So I thought I'd address this slightly broader question. Amazing FBA has been very focused and will continue mostly to be focused on the private label thing, but that is one business model amongst many, even if you're just looking at selling physical products on Amazon, never mind getting outside of that even though it's a big business, quite a narrow business. So within that area then, let's explore five models, some of them quite similar, some somewhat different, and let's compare those so you get an idea of what might suit you and your budget and your life at this stage. So rather than talk about the models and obsessively deep dive in them, I'm going to sort of be creating a sort of comparison shopping list for you. And in fact, we've done a little comparison shopping list, rather like if you were shopping for, different levels of prices for some kind of software service or something. We've given you a little comparison chart so you can look easily at comparing how these models stack up against each other. And that's at amazingfba.com/383, which is the show notes for this episode. amazingfba.com/383. So let's get going with comparing these. The first and one of the most important questions is simply how much initial capital, how much money you need to start the business. And that varies a huge amount. Anything from with retail arbitrage and online arbitrage, and I'll talk about what they are in a minute, all the way up through with wholesale brand, buying existing brands, private labeling, creating effectively your own products, or at least having them private labeled. We'll talk about the difference, and the agency model as well. So we've got five different models there we're comparing. Retail arbitrage or online arbitrage is by far the cheapest way to get started. For that reason, even if you have a bigger budget, I think it's wise, unless you're very risk on and you have a low, high tolerance of risk, or you're very, very impatient, which isn't necessarily go together, by the way. Then this is a great place to start. So about $100 upwards, I mean, how long's a piece of string, but certainly for a few hundred dollars, you can go basically to your local Walmart and buy stuff from there. And then you basically would go around with a scanner, or to start with a phone, the iPhone or whatever smartphone. There's an Amazon seller app you use to scan the barcodes of the products. These days, you can just look at the packaging of a product. It will identify it. Pretty amazing. And all you're going to do is arbitrage the difference between the price you can buy something for, if it's a closeout in Walmart or wherever, for $3 an item, and you can sell it for $15 on Amazon. The price difference minus your Amazon selling cost is where you're going to get your profit. And in the right season, particularly coming up to Christmas with toys and games, that can be very profitable. It's obviously very, very labor intensive, and that's the main downside to that. It's also got a few other things, which it's not scalable, and you can't get consistent sales. The reason being that if you can get, 500 Tickle Me Elmo John dolls by going to every Walmart within a 50-mile radius, well, first of all, you're going to have to drive to every Walmart, so that's going to be a lot of manual labor and petrol. And of course, you can claim the petrol back, but the time is something you can't claim back. So it's very time intensive. And also then, if you go back to the same Walmarts a month later, they probably run out of those dolls and they've now got something different. So you found something that sells well, but you can't get consistent supply, which is very frustrating. Now, online arbitrage is a similar version and shares many of the upsides and the cons, the pros and the cons, the upsides and the downsides of retail arbitrage. Broadly speaking, instead of going to Walmart itself, you could go to walmart.com or wherever, some website. And by the way, I'm not very knowledgeable on this business model because, again, it's not so much labor intensive as in physically driving somewhere, loading stuff in the car, unloading it, sticking labels on and sending it to Amazon. But it's online version of the same thing. So it's going to take a lot of work per product line. And then unfortunately, when you find something that sells, if you go back the following week or month, you're going to find that those offers that you could buy at a cheap price are no longer on offer. So again, it's very inconsistent. So you have to keep finding more and more and more and more product lines, and people who do arbitrage end up with several hundred product lines on their Amazon accounts. And you've got to juggle away. It's actually quite complicated to manage the finances of that as well. Amazon finances can be quite complex. You've got to be very organized. I had a business partner, Rob Sleeth, who did a lot of this, and he showed me some of his spreadsheets. He is a very organized chap, literally rocket scientist. Not saying you have to be quite as genius as that, but it is not as easy as it sounds to do on a consistent or big scale. So sooner or later, I think it's something one has to transition out of. Also, there's a question of how defensible the business model is in future. And I think Amazon is gradually shutting that door down, and it's getting harder to do. Doesn't mean you can't do it, especially in the US, still a viable business model. In the UK, harder to do because you haven't got the physical arbitrage. It's quite a small country, the UK, so it's harder to find those opportunities and the price differences. So the next model is quite a jump up in some ways in complexity, certainly in terms of the capital requirements, but actually the complexity is not as bad as it sounds when, after all, with retail arbitrage, it may be a simple in essence, but in practice, very hard work. So buying wholesale means you're probably going to be looking at having a capital of at least $1,000, preferably $2,000. So you can probably order the minimum orders that you can place with somebody who sells things to you on a wholesale basis, which you would then sell on Amazon at a retail price. We're looking at anywhere between $250 and $750 per order. So if you want to be able to order at least two or three different product lines, you're probably looking at a couple of $1,000s to start if you're going to be comfortably financed, maybe $1,000 if you're pushed. So a little bit more need of a financer. You certainly will need a bit more training, because what you need to do is you are trying to approach people to the existing brands on Amazon that have certain characteristics, like they've already got sales, it's not sold by Amazon, and a few other things like that. And what you're looking to do is then approach the brand owners. A lot of them are going to reject you, so you need to have a good way of approaching them. You need to be prepared to be rejected, mostly by email. You might also follow up on the phone, and they may say no. So that's going to require a certain degree of bravery and courage, and a little bit of training is going to really, really help you in that, and maybe a lot of training as well. But that is something that the great advantage of it is it's very easy to scale, and it's easy to get consistency of sales, because when you find something that sells well, it's a household name, or at least a well-known brand that's got proven sales. If you buy it from Walmart this week and they don't have any available next week, you found something that sells, but you can't get a consistent supply of, you can't source them consistently. Whereas if you have a wholesale relationship with a brand, it's harder to get that relationship. But once you have it, you pick up the phone and you just order another 40, 50 units of that brand product or whatever it is. It's somewhat defensible. It's more defensible than a business, which is retail arbitrage business. You can actually own the contractual relationships with the brands, because they're not always easy to get. And that can mean that it is actually a sellable business. Not always, but it's more sellable than a retail arbitrage business, which has no kind of asset value. And I do know a couple of members of the 10K Collective Mastermind who have, in some cases for years, been comfortably making a good living, doing over £1 million, or, you know, well north of $1 million a year on Amazon doing wholesale, with based on wholesale type relationships. In some cases, in one case, for about 20 years, for one of my mentoring clients who came to me to work on private labeling. So that brings us to the next step up, which is the traditional, if you like, Amazon famous model, apart from retail arbitrage, which was popularized by Chris Green. And private label does really require quite a lot more capital, a lot more patience and more risk tolerance. So this is why I try and flag up the variety of approaches possible, because I'm not convinced that for some people they should ever really be considering private label because they aren't risk tolerant or patient. And by the way, I'm not criticizing you. I'm impatient and I don't like risking my money. I think from experience, I know that when I lose money, it knocks me down a bit for a while and then I get back up. Some people just make a big crisis from it. Others just shrug it off like it doesn't mean anything. Obviously, the more you can shrug it off, the more you're suitable for that kind of high risk, high reward business model. So to start with, I think a lot of people are undercapitalized. I think the very, very minimum you need to be looking at to even start a private label business in your first 6 months or so should be of the order of $5,000 or $6,000. And that isn't a recommended amount either. That's a minimum. I think if you want to be more comfortable, I think you probably need more like $10,000. I've discussed this elsewhere at great length, but just to say you have three costs going in, which people often think is just one cost. You don't just have to order one lot of inventory and then get it shipped across to the US. USA or the UK if you're ordering in China and selling UK, which is typical, but the same deal if you're ordering in UK as well. You also then have to be able to market that, and you have to spend a considerable amount to launch a private label product because it doesn't have any existing traffic, unlike retail arbitrage or wholesale type situation. And because of that, you need to be prepared to spend a large amount of money. I would say an additional 30% to 50%. So if your first inventory order costs you, say, $4,000, you'll need to spend probably another $2,000 or up to that, at least allow for that in your launch, because you'll need to have a nice low price, really aggressive ad spend, and then gradually increase the price and tailor your ad spend down. And then if it takes off, you'll need to reorder pretty early, because if you've got a 3 month lead time, so it takes a month to get manufactured and 2 months to ship by sea, which is a typical time frame, then obviously if you've got about 3 months worth of inventory, pretty much within the first week or so of stable sales, you're going to have to make a reorder decision pretty swiftly as to whether you go and get more stock. That means that you're looking at something which you might have thought you could start for $4,000, more like $10,000. Okay. Now, you can start with a smaller initial order than that, so you could get away with five, but it's pretty much toeing the line. I wouldn't suggest it if you don't have to. That doesn't mean you have to go in and go crazy, but you can already see that private label is a high risk, high gain. So when it takes off, you own the asset, you own the private the patents if you have them, or the design patents, not necessarily the patents, can be expensive, but you can certainly own the trademark and the some defensible IP, including of course your brand name and logos and so forth, which can become valuable if your product starts selling really well. And it is a very, very sellable business type. I know this because personally I know many people who've sold their Amazon businesses for very healthy sums, normally a multiple of 2 to 3 times the profit. If you're, just to give you a flavor, if you're doing $1 million a year in revenue and your profit of your business might be between $100,000 and $200,000, if you can sell it for 2 or 3 times that multiple, you could be looking at anywhere between $200,000 and $600,000 value of the business. And you can build a business like that within a 3 or 4 year window if you work very, very hard. And I think three people of the mastermind so far have done that, literally from scratch within 3 years, got to that level. But they didn't do it with just $5,000. I've got to be honest that the capital investments would be much more substantial than that. So you have to be realistic about that going in. Also, the working capital, the money you have to park in the business and it stays there without getting all technical about it, is going to be substantial, because you have a big cash flow issue with private label businesses where you order the product on, you know, say if I ordered product right at the beginning of January 2020, it would take 3 months for it to be manufactured and shipped to Amazon if I'm sea shipping, which is makes it more profitable, but slows the process down. And then it would take another, whatever, 3-4 months, depending on how much inventory I ordered, to sell through and get all of that money back. Then, of course, I've got the profit on top, which is great, but the money is tied up for quite a long time, and that money has to stay in the business. If you just yank that money back out, you'll kill the business. So it's a serious thing. It's a bit like a property investment, like a mini property investment. It's more flexible than that. But unlike property, the value of your products can go not to zero necessarily, but pretty close, because if you're private labeling a product and you get it wrong, then sometimes people don't really want it and you just have to get rid of the stock. So I would say very broadly, one in five private label products is really going to take off. One might just do very little, and three of them will be sort of moderate sort of success, but not really worth reordering. And that's something you can improve those odds over time by working with a coach, by getting great training, by being part of a mastermind, by more experience, all of the above. You can really hone that risk much lower. But when you start off, you don't know really what you're doing, and you don't understand the nuances of a particular market. So one of the downsides of the private label model, which is why I would honestly say that between the retail arbitrage and online arbitrage and private label model, a lot of people, more than currently do, should be considering the wholesale model as some of the best of both worlds. Not all of it. You necessarily own the IP. It's not such a defensible business. You're not building a brand, and some people really, really want to build brands. But many people, and I would probably honestly say that I'm one of them, is not quite so bothered about brand building and more just wanting to create a sustainable medium risk business, so that we're hungry for some success, but not really prepared to take the huge risks. So the last model is the agency model, which is a quite different one again. So I think in theory, you don't have to have a huge amount of money to start this up. I guess in theory, you could start with a pretty much free WordPress site and a podcast and or a Facebook group or whatever, and just manually grow it. And some people do operate that way. Having said that, of course, the main barrier to doing this is if anyone's going to actually hand their precious brands over to you and get you to work on their behalf to manage their accounts, they're going to have to trust that you know what you're doing. So I would suggest that you probably need at least one, probably more like 2 or 3 years experience yourself as a private labeler or some kind of Amazon seller. You don't have much cash in the business to start with. But of course, if you're going to scale it up, you are going to have to put some money into finding and hiring and training and managing your staff. And that is not necessarily easy to find. Good people don't grow on trees any more than good products do. Yes, you can get that done. It's a different skill set, and it depends if you're a people and processes oriented person. This business model might work well for you, but you have to be a processes oriented person to some extent to run an Amazon business anyway. There's a large amount of research and communications for each product line. To that extent, it's obviously similar to the wholesale type model. And indeed, you can combine the two if you might eventually come to a deal with somebody you have a wholesale relationship with, i.e. they sell you products at wholesale prices and you retail it on Amazon. You might eventually come to a deal where you take a profit share percentage and they put the capital up. That obviously makes it much more scalable. That is not an easy one to get, but you can reach that situation. And you can do that more easily when you've got a more experience and you are more plausible yourself as an expert in Amazon as well. That kind of business, I have seen people sell them. There's the odd Amazon businesses or service type business that sells, but it's less common than selling a brand. I don't think it's as proven as smooth a path. Can be done, but you'd have to have very, very tight standard operating procedures and very good contracts for your staff. So like anything else, any business can become sellable, but I would say the most sellable type business is probably the private label business. That's the most proven one. And it's probably the biggest long-term payoff. An agency is more manual labor, but is more consistent cash flow. So it's no coincidence that a lot of people I know who are serious private label sellers also run an agency to smooth out some of the cash flow and the risk. Also people who wholesale, as I said, that can also combine with an agency type model. So the final thing I'd say on all these types of business models is, and we're talking very high level, I'm not necessarily saying how you should start and the ABCs of each of those. We can link through, they have multiple different podcasts about that. And I will be doing a few about how you buy wholesale with Dan Medders of the Wholesale Formula, who is more expert than I am in that model. And if you want to find out more about that model, you can find out more there. The private label model is basically what Amazing FBA is about. So there's plenty to teach you about it here. The agency model is not something I've really taught much. And I think that's because you probably need to be a more advanced seller anyway to learn that. That's not something I'm going to try and teach people from scratch. But what I would say is that in the end, you don't have to choose one way or the other. You can blend these models together in a way that makes sense for you. And as I said, a couple of examples. Number one, a couple of people in the masterminds that I run who are mostly wholesale sellers, or they have wholesale relationships, I should say. They retail on Amazon, but they buy from wholesalers. And a couple of those are now doing some different deals that some of them are creating private label products of their own. A couple are private labeling and combining that with some licensing deals, which is another business model, which Paul Miller of Next Level Licensing talked about. And a lot of people, of course, that I have on as guests that run agencies, which is why they come on as guests, because they want to, you know, get visibility for people like you who are Amazon sellers or considering selling on Amazon. But most of those, not all, but most also have or have had their own private label businesses as well. And finally, a lot of people started with retail arbitrage in the whole Amazon game as well. So in the end, it's an artificial distinction to say you need to have one or other business model. But I think you need to be aware of their existence and you need to move through them if you're starting off in the appropriate place and blend them in a way that's appropriate for you and your pocket and your risk tolerance. So I just thought I'd do a podcast that flagged up a bit more clearly what the sort of, you know, smorgasbord of options are. There are so many ways of making money on Amazon, and they have different sort of risk profiles and capital requirements. So it's very good to be aware of the fact that if private label, for example, isn't for you right now, that doesn't mean you can't start selling on Amazon. You may just have to look at a different alternative. And for me, the next step down from private label would be probably logically the wholesale type model. So if that interests you, listen out, because we're going to be exploring that a lot more this year in 2020, because I believe that it could be the missing piece between the arbitrage and private label models. So keep listening out for that, and do check out our little comparison table that I've just created at amazingfba.com/383. Hope that was helpful, and do keep tuned in for more on all of the above topics, but particularly, of course, private label, as still the home of private label, still the way to build the most defensible and sellable business, I believe, even in 2020. So keep listening for expertise on that, and keep listening for our new line of expert guidance from our experts in the wholesale model as well. And then you can pick and choose and mix and match as it suits you. Thanks very much for listening.